Thank you very much, Greg, and lovely to be with you guys this morning. We want to start by just thanking you and honoring you. We've had a wonderful time in PE, Sardinia Bay sunset, Charlie's Pizza, time with the leaders yesterday. I said it to the leaders, but I want to say it to the whole church, that I know when you send Wendy and Greg down to Cape Town, you have less of them, and we have more of them. And I wanted to thank you on behalf of Common Ground Church. We're learning from you in a lot of ways, particularly around expositional preaching, what it means to open up God's Word, and also the opportunity to have a meal with them and fire questions to a couple that have followed the Lord and been in church ministry is invaluable. And so thank you very much. When they come spend time with us, we are working them hard, and you're the ones that are releasing them. And so I really wanted to thank you for that. It's also very special being here this weekend. We didn't know it, but it's Greg's birthday tomorrow. Guys, Greg's birthday tomorrow. So we're going to get to wake up and cuddle with him, and it's going to be so exciting, and form an orderly queue with your gifts. It's going to be a fantastic time. What brings us together, though, is a partnership and a unity around what I think really matters, Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I, for many years, was a chartered accountant. I lectured, and only in the last 5 years have been deployed to lead a church in Seapoint. And one of the things which I've struggled with is my job description. You know, as a CA, you're kind of like, okay, well, you know, I do the books, or I teach other CAs to qualify. That was kind of a big emphasis for me. But as a pastor, the measurables aren't as easy to come by. But someone has really helped me by saying, you know, what you should do as a pastor, what your kind of focus should be, is that in a world of constant distractions and opportunities and doors that you can knock on and open, what you would really do well is to help people focus on what's eternally important. In fact, help people focus on who is eternally important, Jesus Christ. And so I want to do that with you this morning. I want to help you in a world offering lots of exciting opportunities to focus on who is eternally important, who's everlasting, who offers resurrection life, who is God with us. If you want to know what God the Father's like, look to Jesus Christ. If you want to know what it means to be filled with the Spirit, look to Jesus Christ and invite his work in your life. And so I'm so excited to be doing that together with you, as I'm sure across the city a bunch of churches are doing this morning. A quick look at our family. This is who we left behind. You might pick up a bit of excitement in my voice. But I thought I'd be culturally relevant by showing you a fish. I follow some of your members on social media, and I see a lot of fish. So I thought maybe this is how I worm my way into your heart. The fish had to be released back, don't worry, but we did snap a pic to build a relationship with you guys, Patrick, Joanna, and Sophia. And really, what we're doing is a bunch of churches in Seapoint and PE and around the world. I'll show you guys, that one, that's a whole bunch of advanced churches. And maybe that's new to you. You know, what's advanced? It's not some higher level of organization. What it is, it's a bunch of churches who say, we want to impact our city. We want to bring Jesus to people. We want to live out the kingdom in our city. And we're going to partner around things like doctrine and values, shared mission, genuine relationship, and inviting suitably gifted leadership people to serve us and strengthen us. So if you can see yourself there, GQ, PE, bottom right, there's us next door. You can be grateful there isn't an Australian here ministering. That could have been disastrous, eh? It wasn't a long trip, but it's fantastic to be with you guys. And you are interrupting a series in the Gospel of John for me. I'm not going to be continuing that series. Next week, you will be looking again at the Gospel of John. And if you're a guest here this morning, I also am a guest. And so come along next week and join in the Gospel of John. But what I'd love to do is I'd love to just motivate you and encourage you to grab this opportunity of studying the life of Jesus through one of the four books that were primarily written by those who wanted the world to focus on who was eternally important, Jesus Christ. And I want to put it to you that while you're focusing on Jesus Christ, you are going to be changing. And as you focus on Jesus Christ and truly look at his life, not just look at his teaching, but follow his teaching, not as just as individuals, but as a community. If I was to come back in a year or 2 years or 5 years' time, this community would be different. You would be formed in fresh ways. And so at the start of 2023, I'm going to for the next 25 minutes, give you a hope, a big encouragement to follow Jesus as apprentices. Apprentices. The other word you could be familiar with is a disciple. And as I look around the room here, I met a few of you yesterday. I know some of you have an idea of what an apprentice is. I met Mike, who's involved in the electrical trade, right? Mike, you there, huh? I mean, you needed to study. You needed to roll up your sleeves. It wasn't just a case of looking at a textbook. You needed to follow someone, an apprentice someone. And the whole goal of it was that you would eventually become like them and be able to do what they would do. I know Daniel's here. I used to come down and give lectures to charter accounting students. Daniel was one of my students. I can't take all the credit, but I'll take some of it. And as an accountant, he would have to have done 3 years of articles. Same as lawyers. And there would have been this apprenticeship, which wasn't just kind of, he has a body of knowledge. It was, by the end of this process, I hope to be able to do what I couldn't do before, and I hope to have become the kind of person that is equipped for all that is to come in the future. This call to apprenticeship is something that is offered to each and every one of us when we focus on Jesus Christ. See, what Jesus Christ did when he walked around this world, we studied Mark, we didn't study John. We spent 2 years in Mark, and we picked up that Jesus Christ had an incredible strategy. He would meet people where they were at, and he would offer them the opportunity to follow him. Let's look at his words together. One verse from Mark chapter 1. Jesus Christ meets, in this case, some fishermen going about their business. And he says to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. This invitation was quite scandalous, because normally when a rabbi was choosing people to follow him, he wouldn't be doing it with people with the nets fishing, as tragic as that might seem to you in Port Elizabeth here this morning. He would go to the seminaries. He would go to where people had started out as a herd of youngsters, and they'd been whittled down over the years. How good are they at memorizing scripture? How pure are they at keeping the law? And only the finest of the finest at age 13 would be picked. Only the elite would be given this invitation. And yet Jesus Christ comes to two fishermen and says, follow me, I will make you become fishers of men. And this invitation rings out throughout time, throughout culture, an invitation to apprenticeship of Jesus. One of the things I still am involved in is teaching the MBA course at UCT at the Graduate School of Business. I just do a little introductory kind of finance bit. That's the bit I'm involved in. And what's interesting is at the start of the course, they call friends and family into the GSB. And they've introduced this part because they recognized that this course is so transformative, it's so pressurized, it's so all-consuming that at the end of the year, families can get split apart. Families can be ruined. It got the reputation as being the divorce course. That's not a pleasant thing. And so they said, let's get the family in right up front to kind of warn them and equip them and realize that what they're signing up for, their loved ones, is going to be tumultuous, and they need to be prepared. Covenant Grace. When Jesus Christ invites you to follow him, when he says he's going to change you, help you become someone new, that you are going to impact the world, become a fisher of men, helping many understand what's truly important, eternally important. Covenant Grace, in many ways, if you're here as a guest, your friends and family should also be invited, because if you say yes to this invitation, you're going to be transformed. You're going to be radically changed. There should be an expectation, not that this is going to be a divorce course, but that the friends and family should be told, hey, it's going to be a bit weird. They should be coming a little bit more loving. They're going to listen a little bit more empathetically. They're going to start exhibiting something called the fruit of the Spirit. They're going to be more patient, more kind. There's going to be more self-control. I know it's going to seem super weird. You're going to think, is it a phase? Is it like behavior modification? Is it a cult? And there's going to be all kinds of questions. And so we want to get you in the room right up front, because apprenticeship to Jesus is life transforming. Following him through the book of John, studying his life, recognizing his invitation to you over and over again, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, is going to be life transforming. Are you excited by that invitation? Does something inside of you go, I've changed quite a lot already. I've been around for long enough. Paul, maybe he needs to shine the final facet of this diamond, right? Or are you perhaps today a little bit more on the edge of your seat saying, man, I probably like everyone else have a blind spot. I probably like everyone else am a work in progress. And Christ can be formed in me even this year as I journey with my friends and family. I think some of us could be more excited if Elon Musk came and said, apprentice me for the year. Oh, I thought of some other examples. Beyonce, Ina Palman, I don't know. Lionel Messi, I mean, pick your role model. I think something inside of you would say, drop everything. I'm apprenticing too. Fill in the blank. But when it comes to Jesus' invitation, we can be a bit, oh yeah, done that, been there. And so I want to up front say to you, this is the best invitation to apprenticeship you could ever receive, but it's going to cost a lot. It's going to cost a lot because Christ wants a full renovation, not a slight modification, not a tiny trickle of change. He wants to essentially give birth to a new self, to a new nature, to a new spirit, to a new way of seeing the entire world. And because I'm a business school lecturer, I had to take this verse and turn it into a Venn diagram. So here you go, ladies and gentlemen, here it is. Some of my proudest work. When Jesus Christ calls you to follow me and I will make you become fishers of men, I want to be quite clear in that he's calling you to change. And specifically, he's calling you first to follow me, follow Jesus, be in his presence, to dwell with God. We sang about it. We were called to that one thing I ask, and all the things that I could be knocking on the doors, one thing to experience God's presence is truly transformative. There are people in the room here today that are suffering with their health. They don't know how long they've got. There are people that are suffering financially. They're under all kinds of pressure. You don't know where the next move is going to come. People can get around you. Community can love you. There's excellent advice. There's excellent words that we can send each other. But do you know that sometimes what is required is to be with God, to be in his presence, and to just, in that place, deep crying out to deep, say, God, I need you. I want to experience your presence. I'm grateful for all the encouragement, but these things are supplements. There is no substitute, God, for being in your presence and being reminded that I was made in your image, that I'm your child that's been bought by the sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ, that I have signed up for that apprenticeship. And although the circumstance of my life right now might indicate that I'm in the valley of death, I know that you're with me. And surely in goodness and mercy will follow me. You see, Jesus Christ points us to the Father, and he brings us to a place of knowing who God is deeply. And as we spend time following him and knowing him, we are transformed in his presence. I'm often thinking about Jesus compared to other options available when it comes to apprenticeship. And I'd say to you that Jesus is really, in world history, the only one worthy of imitation and devotion. Quite frankly, he's the greatest man that's ever lived. I remember when I was exploring faith, I thought of the list of people who've been the most influential in the world. Who would you put on the list of most influential people? I mean, that list changes every now and again, but Jesus would be in the top 10, surely, okay? And then you get a list of people who claim to be God, And generally, that's also a long list, unfortunately. But very often, these are people who claim to be God, gather a few group of people together, and generally, it doesn't go anywhere. It ends in tragedy. Muhammad would be influential, but he never claimed to be God. He said, no, I'm pointing towards God. Buddha was influential, but he never claimed to be God. He said, look at my teaching. He says, only Jesus Christ who sits on both lists. It's only Jesus Christ who has been incredibly influential and claimed to be God. And suddenly you start to lean in and you say, well, what would apprenticeship to someone like that look like? What would his life do? What would his life flowing through my life look like? We believe, as Christ followers, whether we're in C Point in P, that Jesus Christ, being in his presence, being invited into apprenticeship is the most significant thing that could ever take place. The most influential person, God with us, in his presence. And if you want to really even get even more narrow, we believe that one weekend changed everything. One weekend in the Middle East, on a Friday he died, on a Sunday there was an empty tomb, and that has changed everything about what we understand about our salvation, about what God has done. It's good news. To be gospel-centered is to be looking at that weekend with fresh eyes as a community, saying that changes everything. And I've tried to get us excited about this by using an example. How many of you watched the Soccer World Cup final? Did you watch it? I mean, that was it was unbelievable, right? It was Argentina versus France. Everyone leaned in, and there were penalties, and who won? Argentina. Objective historical evidence. And what happened? Were the people of Argentina told, guys, just so you know, we're going to have to gather in the streets. I know it's awkward, but we're going to have to come and celebrate. Or do you think they just spontaneously, having seen and researched and enjoyed it, just jumped out of their chairs and look at this footage? They had to stop the tour bus that the players were on and rescue them via helicopter because they were so many hours behind because they were stuck in traffic. If you go to the photo before, there were some people that jumped off the bridge to get in there. One guy landed in the bus. He was happy. His friend didn't and missed. Horrific injuries, horrific chaos. But here's just the bottom line. There are people that had spent time looking at something and had gone, this changes everything. Of course, in this case, it's only going to last for 4 years. And then there's going to be another tournament and your whole thing is up for grabs. But in the case of Jesus Christ, there's an historical event you can look at. God with us, dying on our behalf, our representative, being raised in glory, offering us newness of life as we choose to be crucified with him and resurrected. It's unbelievably good news. Jesus Christ is the only person in history who offers this gracious gift of apprenticeship based on what he's done, not on who we are. That's why he didn't go to the seminaries and choose the best of the best. He went to the highways and the byways, inviting that whomsoever should come must come. He creates space for healing in his presence. He creates redemption in the midst of despair, hope of the future in heartbreaking failure in the present, and a vision of another kingdom big enough to give your whole life to. Come into the presence of God. This is not outward conformity or religious performance, lest you be confused. It's not even cultural conformity to a bunch of values and practices. This is deep inner formation change into the image of Christ as we enter his presence. So come into the presence of Jesus. Answer his call to follow me. Follow me. And so presence is important. The next slide will talk about formation. This truth that we are being with him, but then because we're being with him, we are being changed. We are becoming different kind of people. You often might ask the question in life, what is the purpose? What is the meaning? If I've accepted this invitation of apprenticeship, if I'm going to follow Jesus, here's the exciting news. You don't stay as you are. Jesus promises that I will make you become. I will make you become. There's going to be a journey of formation taking place in your life. Very practically, I remember, and I'm sure hopefully you can relate to periods of your life that helped form you. Doing articles was hours of charging out your time in 15-minute increments. You had to log codes. You had to manage every moment of that. I started sort of putting in early hours, going to bed at 9 o'clock. There was a process of becoming a different kind of person as I engaged in the journey of articles. What is it for you? What has been the most formative experience for you that you can look back on and say, that shaped me, that molded me, that process was definitive in my life? Jesus invites you to be shaped and molded and formed in his image. But we're all arriving here today having had versions of a formation journey prior. It's just a question of whether it's going to be intentional or unintentional, whether it's been Christ or others. Let's do the following thought experiment. Let's go to a work day, right? Friday. Can you picture your Friday this week? It's not a made-up day. This is the Friday. Can you imagine how you woke up? Can you remember how you woke up? What you did in the morning? How you drove the kids to school? Were you patient and gracious as a parent? Don't worry about your shoes, I'll get them. How did you navigate traffic? How did you greet colleagues? How did you have lunch? Take the practical day of Friday all the way through. How did you engage with people? What did you do just before you went to bed? You lived out a day. Now imagine that day repeated 1,000 times. Groundhog Day, the movie. But your life now. Imagine that day repeated 1,000 times. What kind of person at the end of that day would you become like? The things that you give yourself habitually to are helping to shape you and form you. And this isn't hopefully a mysterious thing. This is just how we as humans are shaped over time and how characters get formed. And here's the invitation from Jesus. His invitation is, well, I will help you become, over the course of your days, someone completely different as you embrace my unforced rhythms of grace. And as you commune with me, and as you start your day and end your day with me, and as you stay in union with me, and as you accept means of grace in your life, like prayer and fasting and silence and solitude and community and Sabbath. And there's a whole curriculum here of Christ saying, follow me, and I will help you become. Paul accepted this invitation, and he wrote many of the letters in the New Testament. He has one letter where he's writing to a bunch of believers in Galatia, and he's passionately trying to stir in them a call to apprenticeship, and this is the verse that he brings them. He says, my dear children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Paul was clear around all the effort he was going into. He wanted the people he was loving to become more like Christ, the one in whose image they were made. Now, can I just say something? Any man that compares his efforts to childbirth is taking a considerable risk. I mean, he's really stepping out here. He's going, yes, you know, childbirth, the thing that is really painful, the days before painkillers, what I'm doing, pretty much the same thing. All right, he's really going for a powerful metaphor here. And what he's essentially saying is, this is taking everything of me. I am all in on this. This is what I want for the people I love, my dear children. That parents dedicating themselves to raise their kids today. I hope something inside of you, all the parents in this room, and even those that don't have biological kids, you've got a role to play in this community, raising others and get to know those kids. And something inside of you, when you think of the difference apprenticeship to Christ has made in your life, something inside of you goes, I want this for this kid, of everything else. Paw Patrol's great, you know, but Jesus Christ, man, that will change every aspect of these kids' life. I am in the anguish of childbirth to see these children formed in the image of Christ, to become who they were made in Christ, to give full expression to the gifts and the uniqueness of what they have. I want them to be apprentices of Christ. This free gift that has been purchased by what happened in that weekend is Christ has purchased them. I want them to recognize that and respond as Christ works in their heart. I want Christ, God the Father, to call them in his love. So we're on a journey of apprenticeship. Jesus says, I'll follow me and I will help you become what? Fishers of men. Fishers of men. And at this point, maybe you're feeling, here's the catch. It's been too good to be true up until now. You know, I get Jesus, I get time with him, I get to be changed, but now I have to go and pay the debt I'm owed, right? Here's where the T's and C's apply. And Paul, quite frankly, at the start of this year, I can't believe it's February. I don't know what happened to January. Don't add another thing to my life, please. This is not the season. Are you being serious? And I want to maybe just put it out on the table. Instead of the Great Commission, maybe we need a moment of the Great Admission. So let's read from a book by Daniel Hames and Mike Reeves. They say the following about mission. They say, let's get it out in the open right at the beginning. There should be a quote that appears on the screen. Doesn't something about mission and evangelism just seem to feel off to you? Every Christian knows we're meant to share the gospel and look for opportunities to witness to Christ, yet almost all of us find it a genuine struggle, if not a gloomy discouragement. The vital, final thing Jesus left his followers to do, the Great Commission, or in our language, to be fishers of men, seems to be the one thing about the Christian life that, frankly, doesn't feel so great. So what do we do? If we're honest, I felt a little bit of myself represented there sometimes when I read it. Do we just suck it up, splash on a happy face, and go, oh, I'll put out the invites? No, I think these authors are right when they point us back to God, back to the good news, back to the gracious offer of apprenticeship and salvation. We don't start by trying to reignite our activity. We start by going back to who God is. Let me continue to read. It says, if we believe that God is simply out to impose himself on the world and suck it dry of glory and praise, then we will never love and want to share him, even if we tell ourselves that God is entitled to do whatever he wants. If God seems to us a demanding taskmaster, we will never be his eager ambassadors in the world. If we feel ourselves conned to having to perform evangelism, we will never warm to the calling he has set before us. Unless we honestly find God to be beautiful and enjoyable, we'll have nothing worth saying to the people around us. Until we see him aright, we'll have no genuine desire to fill the world with the knowledge of God. And so this is the invitation from the authors, but also from me to you as you journey through the Gospel of John, to start again at the beginning with your vision of God. The aim is to set before you, your eyes, God as he truly is. God who's so full of life and goodness that he loves to be known, not as a campaign to impose himself on us or on the world, but to give himself and share his own life with the world. God overflows, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in love to make you and I in his image. We deform that image. We rebel, every single one of us. There's no way to get back to God. Yet God initiates again out of love and sends Jesus Christ, who offers you this great offer of salvation and apprenticeship, justification by grace, sanctification by grace. You join in this incredible offer and you start to pray, your kingdom come, Jesus, not as resignation, but as participation, as you get to see him extend the kingdom through the contribution you bring. I'm not asking you to become busier with Christian activities. I'm not asking you to slap a Christian veneer onto your life. I'm asking you to be radically changed as you accept the invitation of apprenticeship and as you overflow in others. And so as we come into land, the Great Commission, let me just read it before I kind of leave. The 12 disciples went to Galilee. They've signed up for this apprenticeship gig. They've said, amen. To the mountains in which Jesus had directed him. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Isn't that encouraging in a way? This is a guy who's died. He's now resurrected. And some of them are like, still not sure. Still doubting. It's just like, it just captures where we sometimes find ourselves as apprentices, right? Jesus pushes through the doubt, says, okay, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority. I'm the author of life. Heaven and earth. There's nothing that escapes my authority. I'm alive. I'm in charge. I'm the author of life. You can be apprenticed to me. He says, go therefore, make disciples or apprentices of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. You've been splashed by my grace. Father, Son, Holy Spirit has moved into your life. You've signed up. You now get to flow out towards others. They can join in the participation of the kingdom. The MBA has the divorce course warning to parents and friends and families. This church should have a warning. People, you're going to be loved into the kingdom by those who are apprentices of Jesus. And if that seems overwhelming, Jesus comes and says, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Think of Psalm 23 saying, surely goodness and mercy will be with me all the days of my life. We now know what surely and goodness and mercy is. It's Jesus Christ who's with us to the end of the age. With this sink in, this incredible invitation to apprenticeship, don't worry, I'll finish soon. It's a very effective method, Greg. I like your style. I might borrow that down in C Point. I think if I have to put the diagram up, it comes from Pete Scazzera. We think modern-day discipleship is this. Like, we're all going to gather, and slowly but surely, we're going to get to our secret agents, the real Christians, you know, the real ninjas, and they're the ones that are going to do mission. like a small trickle. Now, well done, you've qualified. But look at how Jesus did it. Jesus offers apprenticeship. That one verse we read, follow me and I'll become, help you become fishers of men to two people. Maybe he offers another person, then he offers, he builds it up. And over time, as you participate, you join others, and you join others, and suddenly Cape Town and PE are connected, and we're saying, let's flood the world out of an overflow of who God is. We don't generate the flow and the life. He is the flow and the life. And I don't want you to think it's through any clever activities of, you know, strategy. I want us to remind ourselves it's because of God's goodness. And so as the band comes up, I want to read three scriptures over us as we conclude. Three scriptures that I think continue this theme of apprenticeship. Maybe you can join me in standing. And I'm going to read these scriptures over us and invite us to respond in song. Allow these invitations to wash over you. Maybe you're asking, Paul, how is this done? How is it done practically? The following has helped me. When I replace Jesus, when I think something else is eternally important and I replace Jesus, I choose something lesser and I try and prop it up and I try and live out of this false reality and this false self. And when Christ calls me to die, when Christ calls me to pick up my cross, you know what he's asking me to do? He's saying, get rid of all those false things. Get rid of all those lies. Die to that. That's not life that's truly life. And pick up your cross and embrace the resurrection life. Let me read these verses. Jesus speaking, saying, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Say no to false hopes, false idols, false salvation projects. Say, Jesus Christ, I'm putting that to death and I'm following you. I accept the invitation to be an apprentice. Paul accepted that and he writes to the Galatians. He has another passage. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Christ has been formed in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. And finally, Paul writing says, 2 Corinthians 5 says, therefore, if anyone is Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Christ, we revel in your invitation. To be your apprentice, to respond to your love, is our greatest desire. We invite the work of your Spirit now as we worship you. God, the Argentinians got very excited about a soccer match. When we look at you and the complete work on the cross, we get very excited about your goodness and your mercy and your kindness and your power and your scandalous invitation to participate with you in the kingdom of God. We worship you together. Let's worship.